Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17. Now there was 10, and you come down here to 8. Revelation 17, verse 8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they shall so forth and so on. Verse 10. There are 7 kings. 5 are fallen, 1 is, and the other is not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, he is the 8th, and is of the 7, and goeth into perdition, and the 10 horns, so forth and so on. All right, there's a thing here sitting here with 7 horns, and out of those 7 horns comes an 8th horn, and he's the Antichrist. There are 10 horns, and up from among them pops a beast and does away with 3 of them, and he himself is the 8th one there, the new one. Now we read over in Revelation chapter 17, verse 12, 10 kings receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. So when the Antichrist shows up, he either does away with 3 of these kings at the beginning of his reign or somewhere near the middle or near the end. I don't know where. It looks like in Revelation chapter 17, they're all with him about the time of the second coming of Christ, so he may not pluck up 3 of them from over in here. But 3 of them are done away with sometimes, and that thing leaves him with 7 of them. Yes?
Where is this one in Ezekiel 38, verse 3 to
it? Read it, read it.
And say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O God, the chief pressure we shall do. Doesn't he fit in there too?
As the Antichrist? Yeah. I don't know. Oh, Gog. That's that Gog and Magog, isn't it? Trouble is that thing's there in the millennium. I'll be afraid to put that in there. Yeah.
3 kings, the kings of England, Russia, and America.
3 plucked up by the roots. Yeah, might be. Might be. But I don't know when that's done. All right, back to Daniel 7. You're not going to get all the answers, I don't believe. I never have. All right, Daniel 7, verse 8. And in this horn are eyes like the eyes of a man. He is a man, Revelation. And a mouth speaking great things, like Revelation 13, verse 1 to 6. Paragraph. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheel was a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth before him. 1,000,000 ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. He's over in here. He's over here.
Judgment is set, the books are open, the fiery flame, the stream and all that. What Daniel has done, Daniel has looked, the Lord has shown Daniel the vision, and the Lord has shown Daniel the vision right through here, just like that peace wasn't even in there. He's showing these kingdoms come up here, the tribulation, the Antichrist show up, the Lord coming back and taking over and judging him there. The millennium's not even in the vision. He's skimming right over it.
And that's something that makes it kind of hard sometimes to understand the Old Testament. Larkin has a real good analysis of that in his book, Dispensational Truth, when he shows you how the prophets, when they look, don't always see the valleys in their prophecies. Here's a prophet standing here like this. When he looks out in the future here, he sees the white throne judgment there. And the next thing he may see is the advent here. See? And the destruction of Jerusalem there. And he doesn't see in here the church age sitting in here, and doesn't see the millennium sitting in there. And sometime in the prophet ranks, he'll write destruction of Jerusalem, second coming of Christ, white throne judgment. Because these things here are hidden. And sometimes you'll see more than that. Sometimes you'll see sometime to see the advent of Christ here and the millennium there. And none of them see the church age in here. Now they may speak of it, but they don't understand it. They don't see it when they say it. All right, Daniel chapter 7, verse 9. I beheld the thrones were cast down, the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow. It matches Revelation 1. Whose garment was white as snow, the hair of his head like the pure wool, matches Revelation 1:14. His throne was like the fiery flame, his wheels a burning fire. It's not the throne of David. The throne of David is a millennial throne at Jerusalem. This fiery burning throne is this thing over here. So he looked on out to the white throne judgment. Now notice, come to the book of Revelation. Let me show you how that's done right in the book of Revelation. Come to Revelation chapter 11. And watch the Holy Spirit skip over those things. Revelation 11, verse 15. Watch the Holy Spirit skip the millennium in the discussion of the action. Revelation 11, verse 15. And watch it on the chart. The seventh angel sounded. There it goes. And there were a great voice in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world, like Daniel talked about, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall not reign for 1,000 years, he'll reign forever. Verse 18, the nations were angry, the wrath has come, the time of the dead, the things have begun. See that thing? He skipped right slap across that millennium heart even venture. Matter of fact, he mentions in the past tense. Look at verse 17. We give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast, past tense, taken to thee thy great power, and hast reigned, past tense. Skipped it. Right in here he says, all this stuff took place, and God has finished reigning, and now he's over here. See? He'll jump it. All right, Daniel 7, verse 9. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Now watch it carefully. Thousands ministered unto him. At the judgment, somebody is right up there with him, taking care of him. Thousands ministered unto him, first class. Second class, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, being judged. The judgment was set and the books were open. Well, no doubt about that. In Revelation, he says, another book was opened, which was the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things written in the book, and whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in a lake of fire. Well, I come to 1 Corinthians, and let's take the first class. The first class is somebody judging with Christ, ministering unto him. Not being judged by him, ministering unto him. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 2. Do you not know the saints shall judge the world? And if the world should be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? See that thing? Ministered to him. Judge the world, judge angels. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And notice in 1 Thessalonians 4, when you're caught up to be with the Lord, you don't ever leave the Lord. You're with him forever. 1 Thessalonians 4, 17. Then we which alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm caught up here, I'm with him there. I'm with him here, I'm with him here, I'm with him here. I'm with him here. You can't miss that. In other words, when the white throne judgment takes place, I'm not judged. I've had my judgment. John 5:24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. That's why that verse in proving their rapture is kind of ambiguous. It could be God hath not appointed us to wrath over here. See? Could be the one of those shots. Could be the tribulation or it could be the white throne judgment. But at any rate, when you get saved, when the rapture comes, you're just like Jesus Christ, so you're with him forever. You don't ever leave him. At the white throne judgment, you're standing up there with him, and then a great and terrible scene takes place. Now, we won't have time to get all of it tonight, but I'll run a few references here. I'll turn to them and then go on by them and ask you to read them. And you can write them down while I'm giving them, and then I'll have somebody else read them. All right, let's see. Is that Mr. Buck? Is that Mr. Buck? Where'd you come from? All right, Brother Buck, read us, let's see, let's read us Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14. Mr. Benefield, read us Psalm 90, verse 8. Mr. Wetzel, read us Psalm 10, verse 11 to 13. Mr. Randall, read us Romans 2, verse 16. And I'll read, I can find it. Matthew 12, 36. I need one more. Mr. Crowther, read us Luke. Maybe somebody has it marked. I'm looking for nothing done in a secret that shall not be known. Nothing. What?
Luke 12:2.
All right, Luke. Brother Crowther, read us Luke 12, 2. All right, let's start. I don't know where I started from. Or let's read around. Read loud. All right, at the white throne judgment, he says God will bring every secret thing into judgment. Every secret thing. Next verse.
Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance.
All right. Secret sins are judged at this time. Next one.
He has sinned in his heart, drawn him to God, his conscience to faith, and his enemy to peace. Arise, O Lord, O thou mighty one.
That's it. That's why a man doesn't get saved. A man says God didn't see it, and if he says God saw it, he'll overlook it. He won't require it. But God did see it, and God will require it. All right, the next one.
In the day when God shall reveal the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel.
All right, one up here. Brother Crowther?
Well, there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known.
Nothing covered, not revealed, nothing hid shall not be known. But I say unto you, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. That there is not a word in my tongue, but O Lord, thou knowest it not altogether. Thou knowest my downsitting, my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Psalm 139, verse 2 to 5. Thou understandest my thought afar off. And again, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. 1 Chronicles 28:9. The imagination, the thoughts. The nature of this judgment is such a judgment that this judgment you'll find that God is omnipresent and omnipotent, and God has a record of not only what you've done that nobody else knew about, and a record of what you said that nobody heard, but a record of what you thought that was never expressed. So a man that takes a chance in a judgment like that is a blank fool. He's a blank fool. And of course, in high school, junior high school, and college, They'll never tell you that God knows. The whole tendency in a public school system is God doesn't keep records. And the whole tendency in this book is that you never had a thought God didn't know what it was, and imagination passed through your head that God didn't have a microfilm of it in color with stereo and the whole works, and then the judgment, the whole thing is required. Now, you know, if you're human, that should upset you. And the reason why some folks don't get upset is because they're crazy. That's the problem. They're nuts. And if a guy was sane and honest, that upset him. So you have to be crazy or crooked to miss it. You can't miss. And if you had good sense, see, and were honest with yourself, that don't upset you. Somebody told me one time, he said, "I believe men are basically good," he said one time. I thought to myself, "Boy, what a dumb thump you are." I mean, if you had a, you just start thinking about this. Suppose tonight, I mean, who tonight, let's have a volunteer. Just show you how crooked people are. If I was talking to the Senate and the Congress, I'd tell them the same thing without putting the whipped cream on it. Who tonight would stand up and volunteer to have everything they thought of and said and felt in the last 10 years played out here in CinemaScope with full stereo? Well, if you volunteer to do that, you're just either crooked or crazy. And that's all. And then you're no good. And why, if a film like that were shown, there'd be some of you ladies in here that have refined, sweet, moral eyes and never had did an unkind deed or expressed an unkind word. If your life was put all right where everybody could see it, there'd be people vomiting and passing out. Did you know that? Let me hear you say amen, sister. I hear the ladies, you know, they sing like angels, you know. I always like to hear the women sing a cappella, you know. It's beautiful. You know, they sing a cappella over there. You ever hear that? Just like a bunch of angels singing, you know. If you close your eyes, you almost believe it. And I'm just picking on the ladies because it wouldn't be necessary for me to say anything to you men. I mean, you've already had it anyway. So a man that takes a chance on a judgment like that, he's just crooked or crazy. There's no sense in that. And the thing is, for 27 years, I just didn't believe that I'd be held accountable. And the first time I knew I was accountable, brother, I found Christ just as quick as I could get to him, man. And the first time it got through my thick, dumb head that I'd give account for what I'd done, what I'd said, the thought of that meeting Christ had no trouble with me. I didn't ask him how the animals got in the ark, or whether the flood covered the mountains, or whether Billy Graham and Oral Roberts are heretics or nothing, man. I just said, show me the way out, brother. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Since everything's going to be revealed, it's going to take a long time to judge everybody.
Got eternity. He'd give each man, say, 150 billion years, give or take a few, and just take a time. And I'll tell you what, I think the Lord's going to do it. I think the Lord's going to, knowing the Lord like I know him, I'm certain he's going to do it. There isn't going to be anybody going that lake of fire without complete satisfaction. That's right. In better words, no man is going to go there without saying amen to his own damnation. And when God gets through with every man, the Lord isn't going to have to say, go, the fellow's going to go. He's going to go, he's going to leave. Yes.
Well, you talk about that in time. I know when I was about 15, I almost drowned one time in a bad storm. And it's just like my life flashed before me. I'm having to know about 2 seconds. I don't know how long it was. You think it would be like that?
Well, it could be. It could be. With the Lord in eternity, those problems don't exist. But it really wouldn't make great a difference. I mean, once eternity starts, eternity is eternity. There's no time cut off on it. That may thing just go on for millions of years. Boy, just stand there and watch that thing. And then again, after, you never can tell. I mean, after 30 guys have faced it, maybe the rest will all say, I'm ready. Yeah. So you got that. I mean, you stand there, up there in that big old choir up there behind him, millions and millions of spirits of just men made perfect, singing that hallelujah chorus, boy. You take an unsaved man and step in that, he's not going to take very long to get convinced. See, I mean, the picture is, and we'll run reference on it next time, but the picture is when, you see, heaven and earth have passed away. There's no earth and heaven there. That's why when I drew that white throne, I drew it out between those two. The reason why I drew it between them is because there's no ground there to stand on. And when that fellow comes out, see, he stands like this in space, and there's just blank space for billions of light years around him, and then he's standing in a glow he can't even face, with his head down, that sulfur and brimstone coming off that shredded flesh, and the smell. He's been in hell for anywhere from 1,000 to 6,000 years, depending upon when he died, and stand there looking up and facing several million perfect sinless beings. And boy, I'll tell you, man, it may not take too much film to convince somebody. Some of them not going to take any convincing at all. Yeah.
I got two questions. First of all, you were saying how we ought to be a fool would not be afraid of that. Christians didn't have to worry about this,
did they? Oh, no. He says, perfect love casteth out fear. Here is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness the day of judgment. No, I mean, you have to take it personally, brother. I'll just give you the reference. But it doesn't hurt, see? It doesn't hurt just in case any unsafe person here tonight, see? I mean, you never can tell. We take for granted everybody's a Christian, all this and that, but you haven't. And I believe they got to be lost before they get saved, see? And I don't go in this thing where it just believe about something. I mean, you got to see your condition. And you got to see your condition more than just a feeling that you're lost or an emotional jag you go through and cry at your depravity. You got to see, man, the handwriting on the wall and see what you're going to have to face. That is, it has to be scripturally based. So I made you read the verses. And conviction based on that's solid, brother. It'll last. Yeah.
My question, this is probably a common question, but does that mean we're going to stand and watch
yes, sir.
Some of our loved ones?
Yes, sir. That's why I say it's going to be a great day. I mean, you're going to be all kinds. If you talk about drama, these people sit around and watch these football games, get all stirred up and thinking they're watching drama. You wait, you get up there with 20 or 30 million sinless people and see your mothers and fathers and sons and daughters and sisters and uncles and cousins, the people you work with, standing up there and facing that record. And that thing winding off year after year after year, and those old cherub and elders singing holy, holy, and that old choir thundering back there. Boy, I'm telling you, that'll be a scene to end all scenes.
You'd have to have some kind of grace to get through that, wouldn't you?
Well, you'd be like Christ. You look at it like Christ looks at it. You look at it through holy eyes. But it'd be something to see. And you start thinking about this, he said, every knee shall bend, every head shall bow, every tongue shall confess. It means before each one of those fellows goes off in the lake of fire, he genuflects. That is, when the record gets through, the man bows. And then last, he said, the devil deceived him was cast in the lake of fire, see? So the last thing that happens is the head man comes up and he bows and confesses, Jesus Christ, Lord, glory to God. Well, the next verse indicates they are brought back up. The next verse says, I have then beheld because the word the little horn spake. And we're going to have to close here. We're going to get in too heavy there. But that's what she's talking about there would indicate maybe, and of course it's kind of thick. It indicates maybe at the white throne judgment that the devil shows up as a man, as the Antichrist, and when he shows up as a prosecuting attorney for the state and prosecutes the criminal. Yeah. Amen. 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 And I'll say what else it'll do for you. It'll make you live in the light of eternity. Because the more you look at that thing and the grander and bigger it gets, the smaller this building gets. See? And the smaller Pensacola gets. The whole thing just gets smaller and smaller where it don't make any difference. Who was that was saying? Live in the light of eternity. Live in the light of eternity. Who was saying that? Some guy was saying that recently. Who was saying that? Where did I hear that at? Some radio preacher? I don't know. All right, okay, yes, ma'am. Ma'am? Christian what? Yes.
Yeah. Doesn't God take our sins too and judge us
well? This judgment here. Not this one over here.
Two judgments.
The Bible said about the Christian, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give account that he's done the body. We can't appear over here because that's a judgment of condemnation for people whose sins are not covered by the blood. Your sins are covered by the blood. If you trust in Christ, they're covered by the blood. All right, that's all. Daniel 7, beginning at verse 9. Like I was saying down in Panama City now, I'm just ashamed it couldn't have gone on more and further. Because we were just beginning to climb the mountain Wednesday night. I mean, just the spark was lit. And I'm really looking forward to being Brother Roloff now in January down at Bob Gray's. And you never had a good time. You get three Bible believers together. And we'll have us a time. One lady said last year after that thing was over, she said, Brother, she said, this is simply terrible. And I said, what's terrible? She said, we don't have any cigarettes, we don't have any beer. You've taken away our movies, you've taken away our television, you've taken our magazines and newspapers, and Brother Olaf has taken away our aluminum cookware and our coffee and our Coca-Cola. And she said, we haven't got anything left. And I said, well, you got God in the Bible, you know, that's something. Of course, she's just kidding, you know, just kidding. But when he gets through, man, there's nothing left. There's just nothing left. You're just floating around the air. You know where you're at. But you, well, I like it. I like it that way. All right, Daniel chapter 7, beginning at verse 9. Now, I'm going to read this passage, and then I'm going to give you the Schofield notes on it, and then we'll try to straighten the Schofield notes out. 9. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow. I find a cross reference to Revelation 1:14. And the hair of his head like the pure wool, Revelation 1:14. And his throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels burning fire. Not David's throne, the Ancient of Days' throne, his throne, not David's throne. A fiery stream issued and came forth before him, Revelation 20, verse 11, or verse 12. Thousand ministered to him, 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set and the books were opened, Revelation 20, verse 12. I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. But the horn was back in verse 8. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn. And that horn was plainly the Antichrist with those 10 kings. And yet here he pops up at the white throne judgment. Verse 11, I beheld then because the voice, the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, beast the Antichrist, Revelation 13, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame, Revelation 19:20, and 20:10. In plain words, the Antichrist goes in the lake of fire in Revelation 19:20, and the dragon goes into the lake of fire in Revelation 20, verse 10. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. And I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, Christ, came in the clouds of heaven, second advent, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and it was given him dominion, millennium, glory, millennium, a kingdom, millennium, that all people, nation, language should serve him, millennium. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, eternity, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Now those things are all messed up there. And here you've been reading along here about the Antichrist kingdom, the ten-toed thing, and all of a sudden he says, the ancient day sat, flame, fiery stream, all this and that. Then he said, the little horn showed up there. The little horn was back over here. Then he said, I beheld the beast was given to the flame. He's given to the flame here. The beast is. It's all messed up in the order. And it's like Daniel looking across here, and then he skips this whole thing here, and what he sees is Armageddon, and the beast goes to the lake of fire, and heaven and earth pass away, go in the fire over there, likely together. And yet it says the Son of Man came and got this kingdom. That's in here. Now Schofield tries to get around it and work a thing out, and he gets a botched up mess here. And he says this. He says, the scene, I've just read you, is identical with Revelation 5, 6 to 10.
There the inscription of praise the kings of priests ended with the words, "We shall reign on earth." The vision in Daniel chapter 7, verse 9 to 14, I just read, reverses the order of events they'll be fulfilled. Verse 13, night visions. Describe the scene in heaven in Revelation 5, 6 to 10, which takes place over here. Which in fulfillment precedes the events Daniel sees in the vision in verse 9 to 12. The historic order will be the investiture of the Son of Man with the kingdom. Daniel 7, 13, 14, taking place up here. 2. The vexing of Psalm 2, 5, fully described in the tribulation. The return of the Son of Man in glory to deliver the smiting blow of Daniel 2, found in Daniel 7, 9 to 11. Well, I look at your text there, verse 9 to 11. Schofield says, verse 9 to 11 is the second advent of Jesus Christ, the return of the Son of Man in glory. He says, 9 to 11, this. The judgment of the nations and the setting up of the kingdom, verse 10. The judgment of the nations, verse 10. Look at verse 10. The judgment of the nations and the setting up of the kingdom. All right, then he goes on and says, Daniel 7, verse 13 and 14 is identical to Revelation 5, right at the beginning of the millennium, or tribulation, and antedates the fulfillment of Daniel 2, 34 and 35. Daniel 7, verse 13 and 14, and Revelation 5, describe the investiture of the Son of Man, the Son of David, the kingdom authority. Let's see. Yeah. Which destroyeth Gentile world power, thus clearing the way for the act of setting up the kingdom of heaven in Daniel 2, 34 and 35. So Schofield, according to what he has here, tells us that all these events take place when Christ returns there. And how he gets to that, brother, I'll never know. Because he said the judgment was set and the books were open. There are no books open here. The books are open over there. And that is all. The Lord sits here. He doesn't sit with a fiery stream issuing forth before him. The fiery stream is over here. And some other things. When the Lord returns, he sits on the throne of David, and the vision here has the Ancient of Days on his own throne. So it doesn't match anywhere. All right, Daniel chapter 7. We'll come through carefully now. Daniel 7, 9, paragraph. All right, I'm going to say the paragraph's a break. I'm going along through here. I've got the ten horns. I've got the little horns in the tribulation. Break. I watch and saw until over here. So Daniel starts here and talking about the Antichrist loving thing. He watches and sees until here. And when he watches and sees until there, he sees this. I have beheld that the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool, white hair. So the hoary head is a crown of crown of glory to be found the way of righteousness. The hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels, Ezekiel 1. Those wheels, not thing those cherubim move. Yes. Come again, brother.
Sometimes
people say,
the scripture is like Christ
in
Revelation.
Yeah.
But the Son of Man Christ in the ancient days can be by two.
Yeah,
it
can be in the Trinity. The Son of Man comes to the ancient days.
The Son of Man is Christ
coming
to Christ today.
Oh, you mean the Advent?
And right here they say this is Daniel 7, 9 matches Revelation 1 about the scripture of Christ.
Yeah.
And yet, in Revelation Daniel 7, 13, the Son of Man comes to the Ancient of Days.
Yeah.
How does the Son of Man come to the Son of Man?
Well, the answer to that is then verse 9 must be a different thing than verse 13.
It comes through the Ancient of Days,
doesn't it? Uh-huh. In 13, the Son of Man comes to him, and in 9, he's just there. Well, that's true. Come to Revelation just a minute. Let me show you how the Ancient of Days could be Christ, and yet at the same time, the Ancient of Days couldn't be the Son of Man. Again, Revelation 20 in one hand, and here we're going to study just the Ancient of Days,
and then get Revelation 3 in the other hand, and it'll show you how Christ can be the Ancient of Days. All right, Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. All right, verse 11 is that white throne judgment, and him that sat on it. And there's a form there. And that form is said to be God. But now comes Revelation 3, verse 21. And notice, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. So that's showing you that this one over here can be the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, as Brother Elmore says, it can't be the Son of Man coming to the Son of Man. Therefore, the reference for the Son of Man comes to the Ancient of Days has to be over here. Christ coming as the Son of Man. The reference for the Ancient of Days sat, that can be God the Father or Christ. But they can't be the same. All right, Daniel chapter 7, verse 9. I beheld till the thrones were... Is that clear? Was that clear? Kind of thick, huh? Well, in Daniel, verse 13, he says, the Son of Man comes to the Ancient of Days. If that's the Ancient of Days there, then Christ has to come to him. Right? So the Son of Man came to the Ancient of Days. Right? All right? That doesn't happen over here at this judgment. At this judgment here, the Ancient of Days is on the throne. It's said to be God. But it can be Christ. Christ can be the Ancient of Days. I didn't say Christ could come to him and be the same thing, but that could be the Ancient of Days, because you read Revelation 3, I am sat down on my Father's throne. So if you see a form in the Father's throne, whose form is it? It's Jesus Christ. So the Ancient of Days can be the Lord Jesus. But in the passage you read in verse 13, for the Son of Man comes to the Ancient of Days, that has to be God the Father. Because the Son of Man is something else, yes.
He's had God the Father before.
Well, I have Daniel saying that he came to him. Yeah, but it didn't say that in verse 13. You see, if you make 9 and 13 the same thing, there's going to be some confusion. What I'm trying to do is get them separated. And the reason I'm trying to get them separated is because when Christ comes with clouds, he can go to the Ancient of Days here and get his thing and come back, and the Ancient of Days over there is something else.
You get the same thing in Revelation, where the Lamb comes.
Yes, that's true. Of course, that's not a two-legged man walking up to somebody with a hand. That's a lamb coming up to somebody with a hand. Yes. Yes. You're getting deep now. Yes.
That's what I was asking about that thing out there in John one night. John 5:37, he says, the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me, ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape.
No.
Talking about the Father.
Yeah. That's right. All right, 9. I've got all the answers. I beheld that the thrones were cast down, the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, his wheels burning fire. It's Jesus. He's got a shape. He's described like Jesus in Revelation 1. The Ancient of Days, verse 9, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll go with that. And his throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheel was burning fire. And I'm not going to worry about the other one when we get to it. 10. A fiery stream issued and came forth before him,
1,000 ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 to before him. And last week we went through that, or a week before. Well, last week was it? And I showed you how Christians will judge with Christ and judge the world and judge angels. The judgment was set and the books were opened. And there can't be any doubt about the reference.
The thing that's characteristic of this judgment is there are no books. And the thing that's characteristic of that judgment is there are books. There they are. The books are open.
Another book was open, which is the book of life. The dead judge out those things written in the books. When the Lord comes back in Matthew chapter 25, the judgment of nations, he gathers the sheep and the goats, and he judges them on the basis of their treatment of the Jew. There are no books. There are no books in Matthew 25. Now here comes the trouble. 11. I beheld them because of the voice of the great word which the horn spake. I beheld even though the beast was slain, his body destroyed and given in the burning flame. Now the only way you can get out of it, if you don't take the second one, is you can say, Daniel says, I watched and saw until this. And after I saw that, then I went back and listened to the words the little horn spoke, and I watched until his body was given to the flame. See? That's the easiest way out. So I looked up here and saw this thing here, and then I heard the words which the little horn spoke, which was watching his vision, and I saw until his body was given to the burning flame. Now, if you don't do that, I'll tell you what you got. If you don't do that, you have the Antichrist going into the lake of fire here, the little horn of Daniel. And then you have him coming up over here, which he could, because the devil comes up over there. And when he comes up here, then he's at the white throne judgment speaking at the white throne judgment. Now, I don't know about the little horn speaking, but I know the devil will speak. And the little horn was the devil incarnate. Turn to Zechariah and see how this works. Zechariah chapter 3 in one hand. Zechariah chapter 3 in one hand, and Isaiah chapter 14 in the other. Isaiah 14, Zechariah 3. Isaiah 14, Zechariah 3. Now, if we're going to make this just the Antichrist, of course, the Antichrist, the devil's incarnate, we're dealing with Trinities all the time, see, so it gets hard.
If it's the Antichrist, he speaks until here and then goes to the burning there. But if it's the devil, he speaks here and goes to the burning there.
See, if it's one, it's going to come to Revelation 19. If it's the other, it's going to come to Revelation 20. Now, I'm going to take for granted for a while it's Revelation 20. I'm going to say the little horn is the devil incarnate and that he'll appear at the white throne judgment to accuse. Yes.
What is the essence of Satan? His essence, like God the Father, so is the body of God, looks exactly like the Lord Jesus Christ. What would the devil look like?
A dragon. A seven-headed dragon.
But he can change his definition.
Yeah, he can appear as an angel of light. Yeah.
You say the little horn is the devil incarnate and the accuser of the brethren?
Yes.
But the judgment is for the judgment of the dead, the wicked.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, I quoted that verse. That verse won't do for right there. I just quoted that to prove that he does accuse. But I can't say that he'll be accusing the brethren there. Or maybe I could. You get saved out of the tribulation millennium. And they're really brethren. They're Jewish brethren. But that passage there was which you'd accuse them day and night before our God. That passage had nothing to do with the white throne judgment where it appeared. Yes.
Going to be written in the book of life.
Yes, that's what I was talking about. Yeah, but still the verse I gave was for right now, you know. All right, Zechariah 3 and Isaiah 14. Now watch it carefully. All right, Isaiah 14 on the devil. Verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, like down a canaveral. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. No man hath ascended. I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee. Squint. Narrow. Squint. And consider thee, saying, is this the man? M-A-N. The man.
who hath made the earth to tremble. It's addressed to the devil. And yet he's called a man. Or in Zechariah 3. So when the devil is incarnate as a man, you have the same problem you have in the Trinity with Christ. But Christ's a man, yet at the same time he's God. And the little horn of Daniel is a man, yet at the same time he's a devil. Or in Zechariah 3:1, and he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, type of Christ, or Christ, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments. All our righteous are as filthy rags. And stood before the angel. And he answered and spake to those that stood before him, saying, there's the host of heaven up there. Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, imputed righteousness. And I will clothe thee with change of raiment.